today on the Word of Truth Revealed.
Glory to God. He always provided manna for me. Touch your neighbor and say, what is this? There is a what is this that God has released. In other words, you may think you own it all, but you're just one situation away from losing it all. You got to be able to say, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I wouldn't make it. Stop looking to yourself. Stop looking inside of you and talking about your greatness. If it had not been for God, I wouldn't be here.
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, God Owns It All. Today, Bishop will be teaching from Exodus chapter 19, verses 1 through 6.
This message on stewardship is not designed to crush or hurt anyone. As I shared earlier, it is not for self-aggrandizement. God owns it all. It is to redirect our passions to show us that God is in charge and He wants to be acknowledged as it relates to our stewardship as the one who owns it all. Amen. He owns every blade of grass under our feet. He owns the soil under our shoes. He owns every part of your dwelling place. He owns the soap that you use this morning. He owns your lunch. He owns every family member in your house. He owns you. He owns your probabilities, your potential. He owns your spine. He owns the network of nerves in your body. Even the breath that you breathe is not yours. He owns it all. He owns your history and He owns your future. He owns the potential of you making money. I believe 7 millionaires are in our church, but He owns that too. He owns it all. He owns every pot you have in your kitchen. He owns every piece of steak you have in your refrigerator. He owns your gum and your gums. He owns it all. He owns this microphone. He owns my suit. He owns the bug that's on my lapel. He owns this chain around my neck. He owns my ring. He owns my family. He owns my car. He owns the gas in it. He gave me the money to put the gas in it. He owns it all. He owns my pastoral duties. He owns my apostolic expression. He owns my bishopric. He owns influence. Let me tell you why. Because if He pulled His breath away, if He said, Clark, no more breathe, there's nothing that I can do with all that I think I own. I will be out of here in a flash. I am that I am by the grace of God. And whatever I am, I have to give Him the glory and the praise and the honor for it now. And we've got to learn how to give God praise and stop taking ownership of our stuff. When you understand stewardship, you got to first understand who owns it all. He's clear here in Exodus chapter 19. Though the whole earth is mine. Glory to God. That's past, present, and future. I chose you to make you a community of priests, a nation of priests, a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. I'm going to use you to teach people how to worship, how to praise. I'm going to allow you to create what we call the tabernacle of Moses. If you looked at it from an aerial view, you would see an outer court, an inner court, and a most holy place. And it represents the body and the soul and then the spirit. From an aerial view, your body, your soul, and your spirit. And I'm going to teach you how to first start with your body when you praise. So let everything that have breath praise the Lord. But make sure you go through the altar and make sure the blood is spilled so you would have access into the inner court. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. You don't come and praise God with strange fire. That is, when you're mad and got an attitude, you don't bless him like that. You got to watch that. Check that at the door. We all come through the blood of Jesus with gratitude and thank him for his goodness and his mercy, and his love endures forever. We must all meet him at the altar. He says, I'm too good and too holy to come to you, and you're too sinful to come to me, but I will meet you at the altar. It's the place where you let it all down. You don't have to be fancy, because the blood was shed. And at the altar, it was the place where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there at the altar or the cross that I received my sight. And now I'm happy all the day. We must all come to the altar. It is the highest place in the temple. It is not the pinnacle of the temple. You humble yourself to go high in God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We also go through the golden lampstand. I'm sorry, the laver. The golden laver where we wash our hands and we are cleansed through the word that is spoken to us. Can the church say amen? Amen. And as you go through the blood and the cleansing, you now can go into the inner court. And in the inner court, we see the golden lampstand. We see the bread, the table of showbread. We see the altar of incense in it. There is no light from the outside there. The only light that is satisfied or gratified or authorized is the light that comes from the golden lampstand, which is lit, glory to God, by the priest. And its fuel is oil. And the anointed oil is not for your moving of the devil or getting things done in the earth first. It is for luminosity first. It is for brilliance first. It is for light first. Because you will walk past the bread if you didn't have illumination in the inner court. Just like in your soul, God can be talking to you all the time. But unless the Holy Spirit can flicker light, you won't see that Jesus and the bread is important. You live your life satisfying and gratifying you without trying to reach for him and to understand him. And understand, if you eat just a little bit of this bread, glory to God, he will explode in your life and change your mind. You don't change your life because you go to school and you get an education. You change your life when you acknowledge that the bread, glory to God, has been given to you. And the bread is not with yeast, and it has not lost its power. And when you eat it, glory to God, he will fill you up, but you will never be hungry again. Can somebody say amen? It all happens when you look from an aerial view, glory to God, of the tabernacle of Moses. This is the kingdom of priests that he was talking about. And as you pass through it, if you looked at the golden laver, and if you looked at the golden lampstand and the table of showbread, there's also an altar of incense. You cannot bring strange fire to light that. It is from the coal of the altar that you bring inside to ignite the coal of the altar of incense. Anything else is strange. Strange in the name of Jesus. Even God's aroma should be anointed. And his aroma in your life comes from you connecting with the blood that was shed at the altar. After that, only the priest can go into the most holy place. And that is where the Ark of the Covenant and the golden seat, the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant, is visited by the priest, glory to God. And that represents your spirit. Hallelujah, that God wants to create even in the very image and likeness of the Lord to make you alive in your spirit. Glory to God. And that spirit needs to speak to God. And the only thing that makes it alive is a mercy seat. You don't have connection with God because you're fair. It's because of his mercy. That means he didn't give us what we deserve. I say he did not give us what we deserve. We did it twice. We did it 1,000 times and he still keeps us alive because of his mercy. And we need to give him glory for the mercy of the Lord. It's refreshed every morning. That Ark of the Covenant had two cherubims on each side of it, with its wings spreading over the sea, touching each other. And inside of the Ark of the Covenant are three things. Number one, Aaron's rod that budded. A pot of manna. And the Ten Commandments. And we must put it in the chest. We must put it in the chest. We must submit it to the chest. You got to get the word in your chest. Put it in your chest, man. Stop letting it be topical in your mind. Take it or leave it. You got to insert it in the chest. You got to let the word come out of your mouth and put it in the chest. And if you hide it in the chest, you won't sin easily. Glory to God. Favor should be in your chest. Aaron's rod that bud shows favor to the line that Aaron leads. Glory to God. And if you want to be a leader, you need a rod that buds. You need to be chosen of the Lord to do what God has called you to do. And don't take it lightly when he chooses you. Glory to God. You got to let it come. Let God put it in your chest. And the manna represents God's provision. I don't care what you do in life. You got to think back over it and say, he's the one that blessed me. Anytime I've come short, he's always come through for me. Glory to God. He always provided manna for me. Touch your neighbor and say, what is this? There is a what is this that God has released. In other words, you may think you own it all, but you're just one situation away from losing it all. You got to be able to say, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I wouldn't make it. Stop looking to yourself. Stop looking inside of you and talking about your greatness. If it had not been for God, I wouldn't be here. There is a what is this inside of you. That means against all odds, he allowed you to prosper. When you don't think about him, he's still thinking about you. When you don't give him what he's deserved, what he owns or what he should get, something that's rightful to him or praise, he still slaps blessings on you. I'm preaching today. What is this? That's what manna is. When they went out and saw manna on the ground, what is this? What is this? God said, it is my provision for you. And if you look around you, right around your feet, you'll see that God has always worked on you. He's always provided for you. I know you went to college, and I know you're fair, but it was God that caused you to prosper. He's always caused you to prosper. When you don't do what he tells you to do, he still allows you to prosper. And all he wants is a little praise. Can you give it to him? Can you honor him for it? Oh my God. What is this? Come on, Hawkins Saints. What is this? Man, I heard Jermaine Hawkins. What is this? Let me teach you a little bit. The question is, who owns it all? You got to get that in your spirit. Ask yourself, when you look around at everything you got, who really owns it all? Everything you own will never come through a portal called death. You have to leave it all. You can be as rich as Elon Musk, but you can't take it into the next dimension. It only lasts. It is only only here with you at this particular section, this particular time in your life. Money don't work in heaven. The currency in heaven is not money. It's faith. Actually, you have to have faith in money today before it works, because you don't really see it. You don't really see the money in the bank stacked up. Actually, it's not. The money in America used to be judged by how much money or gold they had at Fort Knox. In other words, every dollar had a measure of gold in Fort Knox. But we've surpassed that now. It's really faith in the money that keeps it going.
If every one of us took our money out of the bank, we would collapse as a nation. I want the money stacked in my own treasure at home. You would see the whole nation collapse because we don't have enough. It's faith in the money that makes it last, that makes it visible. And you need to understand that it is faith that's going to carry you into the next dimension. Don't put your confidence in money. Put your confidence in one who owns it. Who are the managers or the stewards over the manifold grace of God? The truth is that every believer or follower of Jesus Christ are promised eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord when you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God was raised from the dead. The scripture says you shall be saved. And it's very easy to get saved. Jesus made it possible. It's by faith that we're saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you've never confessed it and you did it today, everything that God promised in the word will be yours. And you will live eternally in Christ. Amen. Religion told us you got to jump through three hoops and women have to wear long dresses and take off all earrings. But that's not what's required to be saved. The requirement really has nothing to do with you. It's all what Jesus did for you on the cross. Come on, it was at the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I'm I'm happy all the day. I can laugh in the face of the devil. Why? Because he made me glad. And he has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice. I didn't make myself glad because I did it or didn't do it. He made me glad when I understand the message that he saved me. From the guttermost to the uttermost, Jesus saves. Come on. He will pick you up and turn you around. Hallelujah. Help me, somebody. Hallelujah. Jesus saved. Salvation is secure and great in Jesus, but how do you become victorious here in the earth? I want to submit to you that there are many believers that are going to heaven, but they're not victorious in the earth because there are certain principles we just won't follow. The more money we make, the more we spend, and we're not good stewards over the manifold grace of God. This message is designed to equip, but also to stir your interest in management. There are four principles that we're going to cover in this teaching. The first one started this morning. I'm continuing with it today, and we will do part B of the message this morning on Wednesday night. The four principles are number one, ownership. Ownership. The second one is responsibility. Say response. Responsibility. Say responsibility. The third one is accountability. Ownership, responsibility, and then accountability. Accountability, and fourthly, but not the least, reward. Reward. God wants you to know when you are becoming a better steward, he always rewards stewardship. If you work for any company, if it's a legitimate company, it's going to have a financial department. And anybody working that department has to be careful about overspending or misappropriation of funds. If you do a good job, you can be elevated. If not, you can be fired. They don't play. Actually, it's a crime to take money that's not yours or misappropriate it. Actually, you won't ever have to worry about misappropriation of funds or somebody else's if you understand stewardship. So if I hire you to handle $100,000, you cannot use the $100 to do what you want. And I'll just pay it back, Bishop. You'll never know. That kind of slipshod thing is not godly. And eventually, if it's done in secret, it will manifest big time.
And you got to check that.
It starts by being a good steward at home. Because anybody can cross line and take money from this account to hide what's going on in that account. But it's not right. Stewards don't ever have to do that. I can show you the books, look at it. And have no problem with audits.
Can the church say amen?
Amen.
Okay. And everybody needs a jeweler, a mechanic, and an accountant. Everybody.
I don't care how good you are with money, you need a referee. Name me a big-time basketball player other than LeBron James, other than LeBron James that's playing right now. Anybody know one?
Steph Curry.
Other than Steph.
Trayvon? What? Trayvon?
You talking about the man that...
Oh, no.
Durant. Okay. What's Durant's first name? Kevin Durant. Let's look at Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant can be stepping out of bounds and would still argue if there wasn't a referee. You got right there on the replay, he'll say it wasn't me. Because basketball players don't like to admit when they're wrong. Or football players. You need somebody that's independent. That looks at it. I'm looking at the evidence right now and I need to call it. But let's look at baseball. The pitcher doesn't tell you if it's a strike or not. Neither the batter. Who does it? The umpire is independent of them. At least he should be. Shouldn't be betting with anybody in the stands to sway the game. So the umpire is the one looking at it to judge it. He'll say strike or ball or foul. Somebody's got to call it. Amen. Touch your name and say somebody's got to call it. That's right. You're not going to call it. The umpire will call it. Somebody that's independent. That's what we need as it relates to finances. And that means somebody doesn't just get you your tax returns. Somebody look at how you're dealing with it. And say, you know what? You can grow here. We have what we call an IQ ministry here at the church. I would like to introduce it to those of you in the ministry. One of the first things they laid out last year is a budget for all of our members. And I believe everyone, this is a free budget for all of our members. They're going to make sure this year that every member at least has a template of what a budget is like. Your job is to do the homework and fill in the slots, but they have it. You can actually download it. You can get with the Nichols and they will help you to download or get a copy of it, and then you can do the homework and fill it in so you can learn the first level. Stewardship 101 is to make sure you budget properly. You will find out that you make a lot of money. And there's some things you can do with it, but you may have to pinch here and pinch over there and align yourself to be called what we call a good steward of the manifold grace of God. Are you all with it? So ownership, responsibility, number three, accountability. That's when you need somebody that's independent looking at what you do. And then number four, reward. God diligently blesses. Those that diligently seek him are always rewarded with a blessing. And he doesn't reward with favoritism or because of favoritism. He blesses faithfulness. So some people will see someone that got stuff and they're still blessed and say, well, they must be a favorite. No, if you check it, you'll see the blessings are always tied to faithfulness, not to favoritism. Y'all understand? When God looks, he's looking for a trail of faithfulness. He blesses faithfulness. If you look at the Bible, it'll say, It's Matthew 25. The one that he gave five talents and the person increased it, the person increased the five to 10 talents, he blessed them with one more. The one that had two talents, they increased it to four talents. But the one that had one talent hid it and put it in a ditch somewhere, covered it up. Dug a hole and put it up, put it in a ditch somewhere and didn't invest it, didn't grow it. And the Bible said he called him wicked and lazy. I want you to read that out of Matthew chapter 25. It will bless your life.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For an MP3 of today's message, God Owns It All, log on to our website at www.truthrevealed.org and download reference number 2402-0411. That's reference number 2402-0411.
The Career and College Prep Ministry, in partnership with Team Success STEM Academy, will facilitate preparation for Innovation Games, a STEM competition composed of coding challenges, drone racing, underwater robotics, and much more for students in 4th through 12th grades attending a Brevard County public, charter, or private school. This hands-on project will occur monthly beginning Saturday, February 10th from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. Career and College Prep will also provide the Scholastic Success Seminars ACT and SAT Math Preparation Study monthly from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. starting February 24th. Parents, head to the Truth Reveal website or the mobile app to register your children today. Email career.college@truthreveal.org for more information. If you are ready to inspire others to worship God and usher in the presence of God through movement, then the Sacred Dance Ministry is for you. Email sacreddance@truthreveal.org for more information. Ladies, remember to join Pastor Sabrina on Sundays at 10 a.m. in the sanctuary as we dive deeper into conquering spiritual battles with our new book study, The Bondage Breaker by Neil T. Anderson.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.